And I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to deliver your word. Because I understand that of myself, I can do nothing. But through Christ Jesus, my Lord, I can do all things for his glory. And Father, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. And I want to talk to you a little bit this evening about the thief. The thief. Say there's a thief in the land. Amen. And there he is. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we'll drop down to verse 10. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think my glasses just broke on me. Well, glory to God. All righty. Sorry about that, folks. Did it break or did it the screw fall out? Well, glory to God. Definitely need a miracle to see what I wrote. What's that? Don't have that either. I don't know. Got it fixed? Okay. Anyway, praise the name of the Lord. If I need them, I'll let you know. All righty. But listen, we got to understand the time that we're living in. There is a thief in the land. There's a thief in this world. And he's called Satan, the devil. And just like Jesus said, he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. And now, I tried to find it before I came out here. Didn't have enough time, but I can find it later on. But there's a statistic that, and I don't remember who it was by. I'll need to find it again. But it was specifically talking about young people, but it's not limited to young people. And over the last decade, they took a survey about 10, 12 years ago. I think the age range was, I think tops was like 34 years of age. And they took a survey of the percentage of young people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And again, I don't remember the percentage, but I do know this, based on what they said, over the past 10 years, the percentage has dropped drastically. Now, folks, let me tell you something. There is a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Now, I still believe that there's a great move of God that's taking place. Hallelujah. You guys got them all fixed for me? All right. Help y'all praying for me out there, folks. I don't know what they did, but they told me to handle these things very carefully. But thank y'all. God bless you. Amen. So, we're gonna get into that. Hopefully, I have time to get into it tonight. But those of us that are born again, we've got to be wise. You hear me? We've got to be wise. We've got to be sharp. And matter of fact, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'm just going to read one verse here, and that's verse 11. And the Apostle Paul, well, before I read verse 11, the Apostle Paul was dealing with some things and concerning a person in the Corinthian church. And how many of you know that sometimes spiritual leadership, and some folk don't like this, but sometimes spiritual leadership have to be strong and have to be stern sometimes. And they do this because I'm talking about true spiritual leadership. I'm not talking about someone that's on some ego trip and say, look how, you know, look at my position and I can do this and you got to do this and you got to do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that cares for your soul. Somebody cares about your spiritual condition. Amen. And so, he was straightening some things out. And as you know, sometimes when you get things straight and working on straightening things out, sometimes people get offended at you. Sometimes they get hurt. Sometimes there are misunderstandings. And when that happens, the devil jumps in and causes problems, and then there's confusions, and then people begin to draw their own conclusions, which are usually different. Matter of fact, most of the time there are several different conclusions that are drawn, and then you have friction and disagreements, and so. The Apostle Paul was letting them know, listen, guys, you got to be better than that. You got to be better than that. And you got to be wiser than that. Are you still here? You got to be wiser than that. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you can read the whole chapter or read the whole book of 2 Corinthians. But he says, and this is the reason, lest Satan should take advantage of us. He is looking for advantage. You know, anytime, listen to me. Are you listening to me? anytime that you become offended over anything, stop for a moment, take a breath. A hot-headed person's going in the wrong direction every time. I'm telling you that right now. Stop. Take a deep breath and think for a minute. Is what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do, does that glorify God? Or is this fertilizer for the devil to come in? And so we as believers, we got to learn to be wise. We got to learn to be wise. And as the Bible says, be led by the Spirit of God and not by our emotions and not by our feelings. Because when that happens, the devil seeks to take advantage of us, take advantage of the situation, and listen what the Apostle Paul said, or listen what the Word of God said, okay? Listen to what the Word of God, he said, we are not ignorant of his devices. Or we shouldn't be. We should have enough of the Word of God on the inside of us that we recognize, boom, just like that, hold up. This is not God. This is not the right direction that we need to go concerning this situation. Because we know that the devil is always scheming, trying to stir up something, because that's who he is. He told us, he says, we're not ignorant of his devices, or we're not ignorant of his schemes or his tricks. Hallelujah. Y'all still out there? And so I want to deal with two areas. Now, we could talk about a bunch of things. You know that the devil wants to steal your health, don't he? Don't he? Amen. He wants to steal your finances, don't he? Yeah, he does. Amen. He wants to steal your marriage, don't he? Mm-hmm. He wants to steal your children. And we could go on and on. But there are two specific areas that I want to deal with tonight that I think are very, very, very important. And the first one is, and this is very important to him. It's very important to him. He wants to steal your faith. That's what he is after. Your faith. And when I say your faith, I'm not just talking about faith for healing. I mean, he won't steal that too. But I'm not just talking about faith for healing. I'm not just talking about faith for things, or faith for finances, or faith for material things. He simply wants to steal your faith. He wants you to get to the point where you say, I no longer believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I regret to say that there are some that have reached that point. And you have to ask yourself, what was it that drove them? How did they get to where they are, to where they are now saying, hey, I no longer believe in God. I believe in myself. Or maybe they tried to find some false god to believe in. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. I'm having to push my glasses up very carefully. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3. Listen at what many of you, or probably most of you, already know this verse. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everything that is within you, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. But I don't understand this. Trust the Lord. But why is this happening? Trust the Lord. Why is there so much hunger in the world? Trust the Lord. Why is there so much crime going? Trust the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you right now, mankind, is not going to figure everything out. If we figured everything out, we wouldn't need faith. If we knew everything, there wouldn't be any need for faith. If Jesus walked in this church tonight, this evening, and we knew it was him, and everybody could see him with our natural eyes, we wouldn't have to have faith because we're looking at him. What did he tell Thomas? He said, you believe, Thomas, because you see me. But he said, blessed are those that have not seen, but yet they believe. Well, you know, sometimes I just wish I could see this and wish I could see that, wish I could see an angel and wish I could do this. You stop wishing for that stuff and trust God. Yes, you may have seen an angel and didn't know you were looking at it. Let me say that again. What does it say in Hebrews? Don't forget to entertain strangers, because some has entertained angels and they wasn't even aware of it, that it was an angel. And then sometimes angels will appear in a form that you know, you realize that, oh, praise God, that's an angel. But we shouldn't seek for that. If it happens, praise God. I said, praise God. But see, we are to walk by faith. I believe that he lived. I'm talking about Jesus. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. Can I see him? No, I don't see him, but I sure do believe. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own. I'm reading from the New King. Sometimes I read from the New King James Version and I'll mix the original King James in with it. But let me start over again. I'm reading from the New King James. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We're not going to understand everything. And we're living in a time now where folks say, well, you got to prove it to me. You got to prove it to me. You got they got the, Thomas's attitude. Show me. No, we have his word. Believe his word. Believe his word. Amen? Verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and glory to God, folks, we have a promise from God. What is that promise? And he shall direct your path. Now, guys upstairs, put verse 5 back up there again. I want you to say this after me, all right? You ready? Say it out loud so you can hear yourself. Say, I am to trust in the Lord. With all my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. Give me verse 6. Hallelujah. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. Glory to God. Now see, that's the word of God. We can stand on that. If we do what he says, he'll certainly, if we'll do what he tells us to do, he'll do what he said he would do. Write that down. If I do what he tells me to do, he will surely do what he said he would do for me. Hallelujah. Now that's your prescription. Read that as much as you like. You can't overdose on that. Because it's the word of God coming right from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Understand, the enemy is coming after your faith. There's a saying that is certainly true. It says, feed your faith and starve your doubts. In other words, the more you feed your faith, the more you starve your doubts. The more you feed your faith, the more you starve your doubts. If you feed your doubts, you're going to starve your faith. That's the reason we have to feed our faith every day. Because you can be full of faith today and full of doubt tomorrow. Something can come along that you're unexpected, and all of a sudden, you know, no wonder Jesus told them, and I shared this with you the other day, but where Jesus said after he cursed the fig tree, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Trust God. Trust God. Get all the buts out the way. Trust God. might surprise you how many people in churches sometimes rather than your emotions not going to feed your faith. Standing on what God said is what's going to feed your faith. Now, I made the statement earlier about the survey that was done and how that the percentage of young people that believed in Christ has dropped over the years. Amen. If y'all are cold, you can turn that down a little bit. I like what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there, will you? And you probably, some of you probably can just about quote the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Especially verse 6, because I've quoted it probably, I don't know how many times myself, but I want to point out something to you that you may have recognized and maybe not. But let's go back to verse 6. This is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. You know that, didn't you? Yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But I want you to notice something that sometimes we just read over and we don't stop. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. But look at what it says next. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Did you get that? He that comes to God must believe that he is. And that's the struggle some folks are having simply because they're receiving wrong information. I tell you what, folks, you need to pray. You need to seek God and let him lead you. If you're a young person about ready to go to college, you need to do your homework and you need to pray. You don't need to go into college a Christian and come out an atheist. You need to be very careful about who you let speak into your life. Without God, we have nothing. Without God, brothers and sisters too, without God, I've got to depend on James. Without God, I've got to depend on James. And after almost 72 years, I know James. And I know what is his strengths are, and I know his weaknesses. And I know with James, there practically everything is impossible. The things that really count, you hear me? But I know with God, all things are possible. How are you going to receive from God if you don't believe that he is? If you don't believe that he is. I mean, the Bible says it too. Y'all notice how careful I'm being here. She thinks that's funny. The Bible tells us even nature itself testifies that God is real. You should be able to know that when you look in the mirror and see how you're so wonderfully created. Wonderfully created. That didn't just happen. That didn't just happen. Like I told you Sunday, this past Resurrection Sunday, the God that created this entire universe, the stars, created us in his own image and his own likeness. We have, listen to this, we have the ability to love, and we have the ability to hate. We can do good or we can do bad. We have the ability to create things that can take us from the earth to the moon, from the earth to Mars, from the earth out into deep space. Anybody know of any dog that created a spaceship? Have you heard of a dog that created an automobile? Horse? Cow? Man even create wicked things. He has the ability to think, to reason. All that comes from God. The Bible says good gifts come from God. Now, sometimes we take the good that God gives us and we misuse it and we abuse it. So let me finish reading verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is. And also we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. That's the reason the devil wants to steal our faith. He wants things to happen and cause us to question, why did that happen? Why did God let that happen? And by the way, when you get in the habit of blaming God for everything, you're heading in the wrong direction. I've been in the ministry a lot of years. whole lot of years. I've done a lot of funerals. But I have to say, and I'm not bragging on me, but there's not one funeral, I haven't done not one funeral where I blamed God for the death of that person. Granted, some of them, they had lived a long life and they were ready to go. Some, it wasn't the case. Some should still be here. Bad information can get you in a lot of trouble. Heard a preacher say, this was years and years ago, back in the 70s, this has been a long time ago, 70s, early 80s, I believe it was 70s. Told a person in church, the person had stated how much they loved, I believe it was their child they were talking about, and thanking God for their child, and they loved their child. And I heard the preacher say it, I heard it in my own ears. Well, you better not love them too much, God will take them from you. Thought, say, what? God wants us to love our children. We're commanded to love our children. But if you love them too much, God's going to take them. I think all of us should be mature enough to know that we don't put our children or anybody else ahead of God. But even if we did, God's not going to take them. He's not going to try to, well, you know, you love your kid or you love your wife or you love your spouse more than me, I'll fix you. I'll take them from you. That's not the God we serve. Now, what we have to do is learn. Have to be taught to get our priorities in order. I'm telling you right now, there are some folks that love their wife, their husband, their children more than they do God. But they hadn't been taught. They don't understand yet that in all your ways you are to trust Him. Because we have to understand, God can take care of our children much better than we can. God can protect our children better than we can. Hallelujah. When your child get in the car and head to their job or to school or wherever, you can't be with them all the time. You're going to have to trust God to take care of them. Speak the word of God over them. Hallelujah. Got to trust God. Amen. But we must believe that He is, first of all, and then that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many of you in here believe that He is? Don't be shy. Raise your hand real high. Amen. Now, the ones that didn't raise your hand, I assume you didn't hear the question. I believe that He is. Hallelujah. He is God. Whatever you do, don't you let the devil steal your faith. Are you still here? Don't let him steal your faith in Him. Oh, glory to God. There's some more I can say about that, but I think I'm going to cut it off right here. Glory to God. I praise God my glasses didn't fall apart on me again. Yes, he is. Bless the name of the Lord. Did y'all get anything out of that? Strengthen your faith.